Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we do not yet have a touchscreen. And we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, Mexican beach camping.
That's right, which sounds to me like the best kind of camping. So, Mariana, Mo, who you've heard on this show before, I think.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Time number three.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure to come to the show.
You're quickly making your way into the five-timers club.
That's right.
That means what? We'll have to work hard on making that happen this year.
I have to come up with interesting things.
Yep. We need to get you on two more times now.
You don't have to come up with interesting things, though. You just have to talk.
Yeah.
You could talk about anything and kind of make it there.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to talk about your adventure in camping in just a little bit. Aaron, how was your weekend?
It was all right. Guess what happened this weekend?
What happened this weekend?
Filmed by bike.
I know. I was there.
You were there?
I saw you there.
Yes.
You were really excited, too. It seemed like it was a good time.
Was it like really obvious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was not in a bad way, though. It wasn't obvious like, oh, man, that guy's really like way too excited. You were the appropriate level of excited for Filmed by Bike.
Yeah.
The local film festival featuring the world's best short bike films.
I would like to think that it's not just because I was a juror and got free VIP pass.
Although that did happen.
But I did get a free VIP pass because I was a juror.
Yeah, you adjudicated the films. You made the list of films happen.
Yes.
I forgot to ask you, was there anything that you decided against
there
that was really notable?
I kind of wanted to bring this up when Megan was here.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was one that both her and I kind of lobbied against, like, this shouldn't be in the film by bike.
Was it? Did it feature a bunch of white guys climbing up a hill?
Well, I mean, that's like a third of the movies that's in there. So yes.
A lot of bicycle film revolves around really like you know, guys with really expensive equipment going and doing a thing that looks hard.
Yeah, and that's not to take away from their achievement, but the bike film industry, if that is an industry, I don't know, but the whole culture of bike films is just inundated with white dudes going into various countries, buying their way into various countries with, expensive equipment and doing these things. And
it is fun, but there are so many other things that happen on bikes that are just as exciting and get far less of the spotlight.
Well,
so,
yeah.
But tell me about
far more people that like are not getting maybe the their share of the limelight.
Right. More limelight, please.
Because they're being crowded out by
the
din, you know.
Yeah. But was there a film in particular that you said, oh, this shouldn't be here?
Yes. I won't say what it is, but I will say the whole film is this one person pontificating about, like, you know, why it's so great to quit your job on the 9-to-5 grind and go out and do adventurous things and stuff like that.
Did it make you want to quit the job?
No.
Okay.
It made me want to take on a straighter job.
Like more 9-to-5.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I go into marketing or debt collection?
I see. Yeah. Debt collection by bike would be cool.
Yeah. Well, and Megan pointed out that like a lot of that film got bought by some, I want to say a bank or a credit card company.
Really?
Yeah, and featured in one of their commercials.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So what was great about Film by Bike? What did you enjoy about the experience?
I mean, I always love Film by Bike. I honestly felt very, like I got this honor that I didn't deserve.
You deserve it.
To be a juror.
Accept it.
But it was cool. It was fun.
Wear your laurels. You get virtual laurels to wear.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
And I virtually wore them on my Twitter account.
You could get real laurels if you wanted to, and no one would blink an eye because you're a juror.
Should have wore them all weekend.
There we go.
I think there's a lot of inspiration I do take from Film by Bike, and that was one of the first things that attracted me to it. You know, from my first experience, and it still keeps me going. You know, despite the fact that it is kind of a complaint of mine and a few other people that like, oh, there's films of white dudes in country, like kind of going like, oh, look, the locals are quaint. And it's kind of, I don't know. It's a byproduct of colonialism.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, the reason why these people can go into these countries is because, you know, they have a means to make this end. And they also come from a country that has this reputation of like, you know, if you don't treat our citizens right, we're going to bomb the fuck out of you.
You're talking about America?
Sure.
Okay.
It's one of those.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that I enjoyed, that film program that I saw was Europeans crossing the Alps.
Yeah.
They were doing that in their own country,
yeah,
which is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I keep getting onto that thing. Let me go back. And
yes.
That there was a lot of other really cool things, you know,
yeah,
that were happening as well. It was really cool that Dwayne Burgess came to Portland.
And who's Dwayne Burgess?
He's one of the filmmakers.
Uh-huh.
And he's a person of color. And he makes these really short films that have this like kind of ominous tone.
Okay.
But, you know, I've wanted to ask him about this and I never got the courage to ask him, but, you're always expecting like someone to die in the film, but it doesn't. It's
people
like,
don't die,
you know, biking in the Catskills and,
yeah,
you know, they're biking in the Catskills,
okay,
and that's it.
Yeah.
And it's really cool, but it like really grabs you. Cause you're like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen?
Nice. A little bit of suspense.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I thought the street party was good.
And this, oh yeah.
I was really amazed. There's a lot of people that showed up for the street party that didn't have tickets to go see the
films.
Didn't
even go watch
They're
the
like,
movies.
Hey, this is a free party.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we talked about free parties one time when you were here, Mariana.
That's right.
And this is not put on by the government, but it is necessarily a fun thing. It has to be.
It's
fun.
At least sanctioned by the government.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be filmed by bike. But yeah, they do a good party.
And I was about to ask, like, for newcomers, could you briefly explain filmed by bike?
Sure.
I've heard about it, but I'm not. I really don't know.
Sure. So it's films either done, yeah, about bikes or done on a bike from all over the world. It started here in Portland. Aileen Crowdy started it and... what's that, 14
years ago? 14 years ago was the first filmed by bike, yeah.
And it originally was just kind of like this independent Portland project that snowballed into all these other countries submitting their films, all these people from various... By the way, the person who won the Golden Helmet, which is like, you know, the, I don't know,
that's a big to-do.
Highest honor from film by bike, was a woman from Slovenia.
Oh, really?
Her film was only a minute long, had no dialogue. But it was freaking beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just biking in Slovenia in the winter. It was, it was amazing.
It's a pretty place.
The only way to watch these films is going to film by bike festival?
Not necessarily. That's the main way.
They're all collected there.
Yeah. They're all collected there. And that's the only way you're going to see them in this collection and in this format. But I'm sure a lot of these companies, you know, because some of the films were sponsored by like bike companies or various types of companies. You know, I'm sure they submitted them to like various other places, other films.
And you might be able to find some festivals. Of them on YouTube or Vimeo or something like that.
Right.
But the collection is what Film by Bike is all about. It's like finding the best and putting them all into these programs.
Right.
And the cool thing is that Film by Bike is they're going mobile. Like you can get Film by Bike to happen in your
in
town.
In your town.
If it's not Portland.
So go to filmbybike.org.
.org.
Sure. And there'll be information on,
right.
You know, say if you happen to be in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could say, hey, I would like to have a film by bike event in my town, and they work with you to bring it in, find a place to show the films, find a place where you can hang out for a night or a weekend or something. And, which is super cool. So I'm a big fan.
I saw one film only.
Okay.
It's on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
It was from a guy in Portland, Taylor Asel.
Okay.
What was his film?
It's just basically about why he likes bikes and his job as a sandwich delivery guy.
Nice. Yeah, there was like four guys that all like did food delivery by bike. Yeah, that was one of the submissions that we showed.
I thought it was like pretty well done, like
it's
professionally
very well done.
Are most of the films submitted that way?
Not always.
But these days, more so.
More so these days.
We've always wanted to make one, but like the bar keeps going up as far as quality.
Yeah, it does.
And so now we couldn't just make one with an iPhone, I don't think.
I don't know.
We could, but...
You know, I lobbied really hard. There was one that was made here in Portland that was done with, like, you know, a handy cam, I'm sure.
Sure.
You know, nothing super special, and I'm sure edited on, you know, something probably about as complicated as what we got here in
the studio. Windows Movie Maker, yeah.
Yeah. And I really liked it. It was a very cute.
Aww. Yeah.
I'm reluctant to call it that.
Because it wasn't
cute? And it featured Mount Tabor.
Or because you don't want to say the word cute.
Because I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it was...
I don't want to sound condescending either.
Homespun charm.
It was a very charming film.
Yeah.
It was... it featured Mount Tabor, and it was like, it wasn't pontificating, you know, it was just like, here's a good time, go ride your bike in the park.
Yeah. That's one of the things I like about these short bike films and like kind of the specialty.
Yeah.
And Alien talks about that when she like introduces the programs, because like they've done long form stuff, but like there's something kind of cool about getting like just to kind of dipping your toe into all these pools of what makes biking fun in different ways and different places.
Yeah. And, you know, drones aren't that expensive these days.
Right. So go out and get yourself a drone, because some of the best, like that Alps film had some pretty amazing drone photography.
Cool drone shots.
Aerial shots. Right. Yeah. And in the Alps, you don't have to worry about planes, I guess. So.
Oh, yeah, probably not.
Bring your drone. I could have used a drone this weekend.
Yeah, you could have.
Went bike
Where'd
camping.
Where'd you go?
Adele put together another crew of people. We went to Stubb Stewart State Park this time. Mariana, have you been there?
No, I haven't.
It's a great spot. It's only about 20 miles from the Hillsboro MAX station, or if you ride from Portland, it's 50 miles.
Oh,
and
cool.
Since I've now reached the point where I don't like riding the MAX, I would rather ride over the hills, because for some reason it's fun to me. Maybe I should make a film.
That makes sense.
But we went over several hills to get to the final hill. But it was great. Aaron Delaney was there, and he's done this a couple times now, where he bought a cube of Ham's beer, like 30 cans in a big cardboard box.
Oh, wow, and carted the whole thing?
Threw those on his front rack, and then he bought a big bundle of firewood and strapped that to the back rack. He only brought like...
And this is on top of like whatever he's carrying to like sleep in?
He didn't bring too much. He brought a stove, but he brought like, you know, an extra layer and like a safety blanket or something. But like he had a hammock and that was pretty much it.
So did Delaney tell you guys that he wrote there, or did he tell you he wrote the MAX?
He told us he wrote the MAX.
All right. Because I saw Delaney ride before.
Oh, you did.
He was hitting there and he was feeling so bad. He's like, oh my God, you really shouldn't write the MAX, but I'm just going to do it. And we were like, yeah, go for it. Sure, why not?
But, you know, that's why it's there. It's there when you don't want to ride 50 miles.
Yeah.
Well, when you want to fast forward the trip a little bit.
Right, you know? Right. And that's the thing. Like, because the MAX is there, you can get, like, you know, if you only have 2 hours, you can go out there and you can make it happen.
You know what else is near a MAX line?
What's that?
Oh, this was going to be way
something that
dramatic.
Needs a bottle opener.
I keep forgetting these things aren't a twist.
Yeah. And even though I didn't take the MAX, I did end up at Southeast 12th and Division at the Beer Mongers.
Yeah.
Because I had to pick up the beers
near
that we were enjoying tonight.
Line.
Yeah. So you got the ginger brew.
Yep.
I've got the Trainwreck Red from Crooked Fence. And Mariana, what do you have there?
I have the most interesting lager in the world.
There we go.
From Ex Novo.
Right. It's kind of sort of themed on the whole, like, because there's a lot of Dos Equis down in the part of Mexico that you walked around in. And so, yeah, this is kind of a tribute, I think, to that world's most
interesting. It's really good.
Man. Good, good. Passes the muster.
Ex Novo's not very far from here.
Ex Novo's pretty close, yeah. And they're a non-profit brewery.
Say what?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they do good in the world, and they get you drunk. So,
No, but they are in Portland.
Yeah.
No, they're really close, like, to here.
They're over on Flint.
Location, yeah.
They're right across the street from a school, and I always wonder how that works.
How they're a brewery.
Maybe it only works because they're a nonprofit.
Maybe.
But you can get their beer at the Beer Mongers at Southeast Division and 12th, so, yeah.
Wait, do you have to be, like, if you were selling alcohol, do you have to be a certain distance from a school?
That's the question I'm asking, and I don't know.
It's the most fair, because kids aren't supposed to be able to, like, have the most absolute easy access to
right.
Vice.
I think it is an all ages venue for certain hours. So like It's a kind of a sort of a family establishment. So kids could come in there. They just couldn't get beer.
Oh, okay.
It is cruel that there's all this beer and they can't have it.
But
kids, wait till you're 21 or whatever the legal drinking age where you are, and you'll love it. It's great.
The community college up here, though, on Killingsworth.
Yeah, Portland
there
community
is a
college.
Bar like a block away from the college.
Right.
And it's like, what the hell?
But it's college. I mean, people go to college when they're like 28, right? So it's okay.
Well, yeah, I feel like it's not in the same spirit, but...
Right, right. Well, and yeah, because college ostensibly is all about partying, but when you go to college, they tell you not to party. But there's a bar right there, so... Yeah.
It's supposed to be about learning.
Oh, right. And that. and that.
Finding out what to do with your life.
So, yeah. I have kind of written off Stubbs Stewart State Park as like I've been there so many times. I didn't count them up, but I feel like I've been there like 15 times to camp there.
It's easy, I think, to just kind of go like, eh, we always go to Stubbs Stewart.
And so we decided to finally go there with Adele's friends. And I mean, they're my friends too, but I think of them as Adele's friends.
Okay.
It's funny to go out there to a place I've been to so many times and to see people seeing it for the first time and realizing, hey, this is actually a pretty cool spot because they've got that hike-in camp where it's just like a quarter mile. Apparently, you're not supposed to hang hammocks, and we had like six of them in our group.
Hmm.
So,
So they came and told you to take them down? Or?
They came and told us that the ranger might come and tell us to take them down, but that didn't happen.
Ranger did not like that.
Yeah.
I don't see why hammocks would be forbidden.
I don't know why.
They would harm the trees, I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah. The Rangers are terrible people. They don't like fun. That's my guess. So anyways, that was my weekend. It was a good time. So Mariana, tell us about the trip you took.
All right. Where to begin? It was very fun. Every day was an adventure. The scenarios were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say it. I hated not having a bike.
Okay.
Really?
Every second of it. Yeah.
How did you decide to go camping without a bike?
Down there, it's not as easy to just put your bike on the bus.
In
There's
Mexico?
Like very limited options. Yeah. So I didn't have a car. My parents, of course, weren't going to just drive me with my bike there.
Okay.
It's not going to happen.
Did you ask or you just knew?
No. I just knew.
They're not going to take me out there with my bike.
No, they would be like, no, get a job.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Do that instead.
Yeah. How did you decide to go? Because how long were you gone for?
So I was thinking about that. And in total, it was like 3 months.
Okay. Because that's a pretty long trip.
But I did return to the city.
Okay.
Probably like three times.
Okay. So kind
for
of
like, I don't quite remember, but I did have to go to the city at least three times.
Okay. Like Mexico City? Like home?
No. Guadalajara, where I live.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I mean, where I was living.
Oh, okay. That's right. You were there. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're from Guadalajara.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the place where I went, it's a 5-hour drive from the city where I live.
Uh-huh.
It's, I started in San Pancho, Nayarit.
Yeah.
It's very small town, very charming, very cute, very peculiar. The beach is awesome and open and super long. You can camp there for free. There is absolutely no charge. You can camp on the sand.
Yeah.
Like on the shore. If you want a site where you can have like access to water,
uh-huh.
Then you pay like the equivalent to $2
okay.
for a night to set up your camp.
Like 30 pesos?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Okay, there we go. All right.
And they'll have trees, you know, like more shade, whereas if you're just camping nowhere, because they took the time to plant stuff.
Right. And like big, tall shade trees don't just grow everywhere, right? I mean... They do in some places, but if you're camping on the beach, you're not going to have as much shade in all of the spots.
That's correct.
So starting out in San Pancho, San Francisco is the technical name, or does it go by both?
San Francisco is the real name.
Okay.
San Pancho is like the...
Like the nickname?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. So how I did it in the beach, one backpack, my tent, and then the tent that I had... You know how they have like a layer that's separate from the tent?
Like a rain fly sort of thing?
Uh-huh, correct. Yeah. So I would just grab two sticks and make myself a shade.
There we go.
So that was vital, super important.
Right.
It helped a lot.
Like when the sun was out, you had a way to get away from the sun.
Oh, yeah, okay. Definitely. I learned to dig. My brother taught me how. Walked through the jungle. Friggin' was scared of heights.
Yeah.
Walked across cliffs. It was the best.
Nice.
Yeah.
So tell me, what made you go on this? Because this, a three-month journey is not a thing that you just decide to do one day. Or is it?
For me, I was out of college. I had been out of college for a year.
Okay.
So I was in that like weird stage where, because, you know, when you're a kid and you start going to school until you're done with college, you never really have more than your vacation time.
Right.
You always have to be somewhere.
Life is scripted out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So a year like out of college, I was like, what the hell? Back then, I thought that I didn't like what I had gone to college for.
Okay.
So I was like upset about that. The people, the boys that I liked didn't like me at all.
Oh.
So it was like just those times when everything comes together at the same time, you know?
Right. Like, I don't like anything that's happening right now.
Yeah.
I should change it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm just going to go to the beach for a weekend. And it was the New Year's weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I went there. I had an awesome time and I just felt that I needed to stay there for a longer time.
There we go.
So I stayed there. Then I had to come back because I had a job.
Uh-huh.
Eventually I got fired and that's when I went there like and
I'll
tried
go back to,
this
cool place.
Yeah, I went back to San Pancho. And from there, like once I start meeting people and being able to walk through the jungle.
Uh-huh.
Then I kind of started doing that and moving around, then went back home, refuel, came back, etc.
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know the total mileage that I traveled.
That's okay. I think mileage counts are overrated. Although if you're obsessive like me, you start thinking about it a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's why I think they're overrated.
It was a trip of total like 3 months.
Yeah. Do you have an idea? Like, did you walk a lot or did you move like short distances and then plop down again?
I walked a lot through the jungle.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I needed to get like from one big population to the other, then it had to be by bus or car.
Okay, yeah.
Once you get to like below Puerto Vallarta, then like the road is done. There's no more road for cars.
Like there's no paved road or like there's no road, period?
There's no paved road.
Okay.
So
it's not like bumpy kind of rutty roads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The only way to get from one population to the other is only by boat. And there's multiple populations around along the shore.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's like a crescent shape, like Puerto Vallarta. Isn't it the biggest bay like in the world or something?
I'm not sure.
I was told that. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. But it's a very large bay. But like most bays, crescent shaped. And so.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, down at the bottom of the crescent there is kind of the ending point. But pretty wild down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, those towns are actually incredible to me because they build their town on a cliff.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you had the opportunity to see them, but it's basically like built in the rock in like the mountain.
Yeah. When I was down there in March, we went to Sayulita and, I feel like Sayulita is pretty, I mean, it's fairly westernized for a Mexican beach town. So,
yeah.
I don't think there was anything that looked like, you know, dangerous to me or like, you know, but there were like houses built right up to the shore and everything and everything was clustered. There was a couple of cliffs, steep things, but you're talking about towns where like everything looks like it's going to slide off the side of the hill.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to me, that was frigging incredible.
Yeah.
It was very amazing to see.
Right. Right. And well, it's kind of like, I feel like in a lot of Western places, you got like a lot of that sense of adventure is kind of zoned out. Like you're not allowed to build something in a place where it'd be kind of exciting in that way. But
yeah.
So when you found these towns, like cliffside towns, were you staying with people there or did you find a place there? Because there's no beach if there's a cliff or is there?
No, there are beaches.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
For the most part, I was just staying there by myself.
Right.
Just set up the tent and sleep there.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, lounge around. If it looked safe, then stay there again.
Sure. Were you very social when you were doing this trip? Or did you kind of keep to yourself?
Yeah. No, definitely very social.
Okay.
And, you know, when the weather is hot and the spirits are high, everybody wants to talk.
Right, right.
So it's hard not being social.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Aaron, would you do a trip like this?
I don't know. I was thinking it would be pretty cool to be out in the woods on my own for a little while.
Right.
I don't know if I could do, I mean, I for you, it's not a foreign country. For me, it's a foreign country.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I don't know, like, I can't get over, even in my own country, I can't get over like these certain fears of like, you know, what if I get mauled by an animal, or, you know, what if a couple ne'er-do-wells decide, you know, to ransack my camp and take me for all it's worth.
Animals and people are the two scariest things, it seems.
They
like.
Can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if I could, I certainly couldn't do 3 months. Whoops. I certainly couldn't do 3 months alone. But then again, maybe that's the thing that would like turn me into an extrovert.
And I did want to say, when I was thinking about coming here, that this experience was life-changing to me.
Yeah.
Because even though I was social, when there was people around, there's a lot of times that you're on your own.
Sure.
Okay. For very long periods of time.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's awesome time. But if you, I think the fears that you have, it's only putting your life into perspective, you know, and you're like, well, I have this, and is it worth it doing this? And you're just like in a very good spot where you just like where you are, and you're not really like seeing the value in risking it, you know, like becoming ill or having any trouble, you know, that will put you in a disadvantage into where you are now.
So after a while, you don't even really think about those things, or...
When I went there, I just wanted to be alone for a second.
Yeah.
The city where I live is huge, is very big. It's 7 million population.
Yeah.
So it's easy to feel like you need a timeout, you know?
Right.
So I was doing all that. I just needed some time for myself. And yeah, like you said, decided where I wanted to go next and where I wanted to be next. And that's when I decided to come to the U.S.
Woo! So that was like the deciding factor.
We're the better
factor
for that.
Yeah, now you guys get to have me.
Thank you for coming to Portland. Yeah. Was it, I mean, did you try to distract yourself from yourself when you were alone in the woods? Or was that a time to kind of get to know your head a bit better?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I could see it going two ways. Either like you spend a lot of time talking to yourself and figuring things out, or you spend a lot of time with like earbuds and you're like singing the songs and you're kind of trying to avoid thinking about anything you need to think about.
I think for me, it was more like thinking about myself.
Okay.
Yeah, because my quest there was trying to find out where to go next, because I felt that I was at a very uncertain spot, you know?
Right. A cliche, but you're trying to like find yourself.
Yeah, kind of.
In a way.
I didn't feel uncertain about myself, but mostly where I was going.
Like what you do, your direction.
Yeah, back then it was hard because I wasn't as, you know, it's hard finishing school, I think.
Yeah.
You're done with school and you're just like, oh my God. And you look back and you're like, oh my God, I just did all that and like put almost no thought into it. Like I just finished school.
Yeah.
So I had my degree and I'm like, I don't even want to do that in my life. So I was like, now what?
Right. It's been 12 years since I graduated and I'm not even sure, like, you know, like I still don't even know if I'm doing what I should be doing, if I'm doing what I want to do. But yeah, it is weird.
Eternal question.
It's when they dump you out and you're like, hey, it's been this long of formal education and now you're on your own.
Yeah.
Go do your thing.
Yeah. So I was mostly trying to find out where to go next, what to do next.
Yeah. Did you meet other people that helped you make some of those decisions? Like, did you talk it over with people you met?
Yeah, definitely. Mostly I met people that were trying to find, like, drugs.
Okay.
And I was like, no, that's not where I want to go. Okay. You know, the people that were, like, very committed to that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because that's mostly the people that you're going to meet, I think.
Like sleeping on the beach, like that. It's easier to be like heavily committed to drugs when you have a nice like place of like a beach to
when
hang out on.
You don't have
on.
To pay rent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And just like committed to like just not having, because I was very comfortable. I like didn't have a problem with that. I was doing it to have fun.
Sure. Right, right.
But some people like are okay with like never earning money and like being limited at all points and like having to ask for things that they need. That
like
they
at
should...
school. I just give me some drugs and I'll go back to the beach.
And not even necessarily drugs. You're talking
or
like
whatever.
Even essentials.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like they don't feel like that they have to even provide that for themselves and they feel comfortable like that.
Right.
So I was
I
like...
I always wonder like where the thought process is with that. Like
they feel
you know,
like...
And I don't mean that to vilify somebody.
No.
I just really curious like where the... Because, you know, I think all of us, we kind of are told from the very beginning, like, you know, you are to provide for yourself. You are to, like, go be gainfully employed and to, like, you know, do these essentials, you know, shelter, food, all that.
Gainfully is the hardest part, I think.
Well,
but yeah,
maybe not gainfully, but...
I feel that some people have a lot of pity for themselves and they put themselves in a very, like... victim position in society.
Why does it always rain on me?
So that's how they justify it. They're like, it's not that I don't want to provide for myself. It's that I'm put in this unjust position where I can't.
But then there's, I don't know, but then there's people who, you know, prefer that lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely.
And
that's
like, you guys are stuck in your holes and your rat race and your, you know.
And look at me. I'm free.
I'm free, man.
I remember I had a conversation with a guy. Adele and I were on our bike trip to Colorado and I met a guy and he bought us breakfast. But then I think he kind of wanted to like talk to us because he saw us as like, you kids are doing your adventure now, but what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And I was like, well, I kind of want to do more of this. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
He's like, what about ambition? And it's true that like you do need some ambition because you don't want to be just like, I mean.
Well, you're ambitious about the trips you make.
Sure. Yeah. 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 I think he was like wondering if I was ever going to have a retirement account or something.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I also wonder that myself. But it's the sort of thing where there's a certain balance between like having no motivation at all and just being like, hey, I'll sleep on the beach and take drugs or not take drugs.
Yeah.
And ask for food or something.
Ask for the things that I need.
Or there's the opposite direction where like you're working so hard to do something, whatever that is, that you never get any time to like hang out and relax and kind of reconnect with yourself. So, so somewhere in the middle, and it seems like that's what this trip did for you, Mariana, was just like,
Point me in the direction of where I wanted to go. Like, definitely.
Right.
And I met a lot of interesting people. I met those people. I met American Spring Breakers at Puerto Vallarta, you know.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was excellent. They have this like floating platform that's really not a boat. It's just a platform.
It's like a big dock.
Uh-huh. Yeah, basically. Okay. And they just like float it around and stop at, I guess, different beaches or whatever. And they're just drinking.
Right.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
I met travelers, you know, people that are just like 100% committed to traveling that were just passing by.
Yeah.
I met locals. I met a mermaid. I met this like...
An actual mermaid?
Mermaid?
Yeah.
I'm curious about this.
So no feet, just a tail.
She has feet, yeah.
Okay.
It's this girl. She was very inspirational, you know.
Uh-huh.
She just wanted to... She always thought that she had to live near the ocean, and that's what she did.
Oh, yeah.
So she became a, I don't know what they're called, like therapist messages.
Massage therapist?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she made like pretty good money.
Oh, nice.
But lived very comfortably, like not showing off, just like, okay.
Right.
But her voice, like the way she talked.
Siren song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when she swam in the ocean, so you know how you can see the foam of the waves, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and this is just going to sound funny, but is like her face was always in the foam, you know, like
interesting.
The foam moves like this. And she was just like traveling with the foam.
Fascinating.
Like literally. And I was like, that's funny. My God.
Like she was more connected to the water than anybody else you've ever met.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's probably the technical definition of a mermaid.
It was like one of the, like that situation in Splash where when she's on land and dry, she's got feet, but once she gets wet, she turns into a mermaid.
Yes.
You know, so she gets in the ocean. She's got the tail and everything. She's able to swim with the waves.
Who was in that?
Oh, crap. Tom Hanks and...
Okay.
Not Meg Ryan. Oh. Daryl Hannah.
Oh, okay. Fascinating. Well, that's cool. That sounds like a very interesting person to meet.
Yeah.
And it's cool. That's one of the things I like about travel is that, like, eventually you turn up these people who, like, are so connected. Like, they're so much, they're the epitome of whatever kind of person they are.
Yeah.
And there's something inspiring about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Just thinking about spring break, what was your drink of choice on this trip?
There's this Estrella Light.
Okay.
So it's so good. And it comes in, like, slim cans.
Okay.
So it's not like a regular beer or serving. You know, it's like a little bit less, and it's just perfect.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Not super strong. You could have a few.
Not super strong. A very light pilsner.
Okay.
Delicious, definitely.
Gotcha.
And the Corona Familiar.
Of course.
The 40s, definitely.
Right. I had one of those. I think for whatever reason, Dos Equis was actually my favorite Mexican beer while I was in Mexico.
Makes sense.
But I'm not sure. I don't know exactly why. There was also Sol, which was the clam juice and tomato juice and beer.
Oh yeah,
and that was
Michelada.
That was tasty. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
so delicious.
I'm a big fan of that.
Sounds disgusting.
That's so good.
And also, it's not vegetarian, right? So,
no, clam juice. Yeah.
But yeah, there was a couple of good ones. So either Corona or was it Estrella?
Estrella.
Light,
okay.
Yeah,
okay. So gotcha. Good. I never saw that one when I was there, but. I should have looked.
Yeah.
I'll have to. Can you get it here in the States?
I don't think so.
Okay. No. I've never seen it.
No, I don't think you can get it.
Can you get it at OXXO?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So it's one of those brands, like it's in that family of brands. I was fascinated that OXXO is basically like, they started as a distribution for like that one brand.
Oh.
So like, because you can't get Pacifico at OXXO. I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Unless that's just how it was in the certain part that I was at. But. As far as I know, like it was basically Dos Equis that owns the OXXO stores, and that's why they only carry certain brands. But,
interesting.
Yeah. What were wildlife? Talk about. Did you see animals? And was that fun or was that scary?
Let me think. I was always just kind of scared to go deep into the ocean. I really, for the most part, like stayed on the shore.
Yeah.
And except for when you travel from town to town by water, but that's not really going too deep into it.
You're in a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I didn't see like any, you know, marine life. Other than that, no, just nothing like in particular that I remember.
Okay. So anytime you saw something that was alive, it was a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Nights were scary though, because you can't really see through your tent.
Right.
And you just hear like, you don't know what it is.
Sounds can be terrifying. And like things.
Sounds without explanation.
Right. Yeah. It's like when you're bicycling through a tunnel and you hear a motor behind you and you're like, oh shit, it's an enormous truck. And then it turns out it's like a Volkswagen Bug or something. Like it's a really small, but the tunnel makes the sound bigger. I think tents are like that. When you're in a tent and you hear something outside, you're like, oh, what the fuck
is
that?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And it turns out it's like, you know, it's a bird, but
no, yeah, I, nothing ever happened.
That's good.
I was pretty good all the time. I never got sick. It was a pretty good trip, really.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I recommend it. But it was definitely hard having to take so long to go to one place from the other because you don't have a bike.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that's I think that's the thing that a lot of people who like bike touring think about. Like when they think about hiking, they're like, "Oh, it takes so long; you don't go so far." But it's a different experience. Like, what are the differences you noticed? Like, if you had done that trip by bike, what do you think would have changed?
I would have met a lot less people.
Uh huh.
Definitely, I would have been way too concerned with my bike.
Okay.
And
yeah.
would have been able to do a lot less activities.
Right. right. Yeah. Because you always have
to
find.
I don't want to be so far away from. mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So you, I would have also probably traveled a lot less because it's hard to accommodate a bike down there in Mexico. It's not as common as it is in here, as it is here, you know?
Right. Yeah. And the highways by and large, like highways are highways and there's not a lot of shoulder space
yeah.
and there's a lot of traffic on them, at least on the ones I was on. So.
Yep. And actually, I wouldn't have been able to hike through the jungle because I wouldn't have been able to carry my bike.
Right.
right. Yeah.
And probably not as good of like thinking time too, right? Because if you were going to it with like, I need some space to think, it doesn't strike me that
True.
The bicycling would have been, you wouldn't have had as much time for that as well.
Yeah. And you know what? It was important for me to hike because you always think that insects and animals are out to get you.
Yeah.
But if you don't mess with them, they'll leave you alone as well. Because I was like so afraid to hike through jungles where like the only way that you can get in there is walking. And I was like, what if I get bitten by a spider?
Right.
I'm just going to freaking, you know, it's no one's going to know that I'm here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
nothing.
That
like,
would be the end of the story. So that's a little
yeah.
bit, that's a little bit scary as a prospect.
Yeah, definitely. Or a scorpion or a snake, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, damn, but I feel that for the most part, if you're just on your way, then insects are on their way too.
Okay.
And I think I learned that.
You just be nice at intersections and let them go.
Yeah, just like share the world, you know? It's like not just because you're way bigger than an insect means
yeah.
that you can just kill it and take it out. Like just share the space, you know?
Right, right.
They'll leave you alone.
That's an interesting philosophy. Does it work that way with mosquitoes?
No.
No, okay. No. Slightly different.
It was like right out there. Should I bring that up? Should
right.
we talk about mosquitoes? What about mosquitoes?
Did you have yeah. any sort of like bug netting or anything?
No, no, just my tent.
Okay. Did you get bitten much? Here and there?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say yes,
right.
definitely.
Right.
The nights are super scary when there's no moon.
Yeah.
Walking
Again.
Through
oh, yeah.
the shore, you know, it's really scary. I was very scared at some point, but you just like, you just have to do it
because
uh-huh. you're alone already.
Just kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part, I avoided walking through the beach at night because it was really scary.
Uh-huh. And what was scary about it at night?
Because it's so immense, you
uh-huh.
know, and you're just there alone.
Yeah.
And there's no light because there's no moon. So there's no artificial light at all.
Sure. So that's like, it's easier to feel small.
Yeah. I know. And it's not cool.
Yeah.
When there's light, then yeah, you can.
Right.
I mean, when there's a moon, then yeah, you
that
can
is
go
beautiful.
Out.
Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, in
without
the dark.
It, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ocean is a powerful force too. And I mean, I don't know, like growing up in the Pacific Northwest with like all the rocks and cliffs and everything, they just told us like, don't go near the ocean. It'll kill you. So I always have that in the back of my head whenever I'm somewhere else. Like when I was in Mexico at the beach, I only went into the water once because like, you know,
you grew up like
me and the ocean have a yeah. contentious relationship. Yeah. But yeah, I appreciate it. I enjoy it. It's pretty. But for some reason, it's just like the, yeah. Plus the idea of like, you know, sharks, I think. And sharks don't bother people all that much.
Generally,
but,
no.
But I yeah. think about it a lot. So, yeah. That was the one thing I think it was one of the first phrases I translated. Like, hay tiburones en el agua, I think.
yeah.
With, are there sharks in the water?
Yes. Yeah. Just keep on asking that to everybody at the beach. Are there sharks here? Are there sharks here? I don't know. Oh. So, I didn't do that.
For the most part, I stayed out of the water, really.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're just out there walking, you don't really have washing ability, you know, to wash
right.
your clothes or
yeah.
your bathing suit. So, and once you get in the water, your hair gets all salty.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you don't have access to a shower, like, often.
Yeah.
For the most part, you stay out of the water.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
just admire it. Every day.
It's pretty. Fresh water's cool. Salt water. Salt water's pretty, but yeah.
Shark infested water is
exactly.
pretty cool.
Peligroso.
So why do you want to go on this hike? Just because you've done all the tours that you can by bike?
Yeah, Adele and I are going hiking on the Pacific Crest Trail this summer. And it was basically like we've done so much bicycle camping. And we were on a hike on New Year's Day down in California. We were there for a friend's wedding. And we went out walking. We did like 15 miles in the woods. And I said, hey, what if we just like did more of this summer? Because it was so novel. And again, I think it was like the speed walking and, traveling in different types of areas and being closer to nature and farther from cities. And I liked the way it felt then. And so I said, hey, why don't we just go? So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm looking maybe for a similar experience.
Nice.
Yeah. Plus, I think I will appreciate beer more when I get it because you can't take beers out in the woods. I mean, you can, but they're super heavy.
Yeah, I was going to say that's stuff you have to carry. Yeah.
Right, right. So like a time to separate from the vices and that sort of thing as well. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So definitely.
Very nice.
Yeah. I was just curious before we'll probably wrap up and move on to our news and mail in a minute here. But for anything you haven't shared yet about like if people wanted to do a beach camping trip and what they should think about or what they should bring or what they should do.
Definitely skincare products.
Ah.
If you want to tan, then bring oil. If you want to be protected from the sun, then bring whatever it's called.
Super, like sunscreen.
Sunscreen.
Yeah. Like high number sunscreen.
Yeah. Have something to make sure that you can elevate from the sand. Otherwise, all of your stuff is just not going to work,
okay.
Especially food.
We're talking about like things getting wet or washed away or something?
No. Just coming in contact with the sand. Because once something comes in contact with the sand, everything's going to get sandy.
Oh, right, right.
So when you're trying to eat food or
keep
something clean,
totally,
you need a surface above the sand.
And you said you had a table or something, right?
Yeah.
You brought a surface.
Yeah, I brought one of those like little tables that you take to your bed to eat breakfast in bed,
okay.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I used.
Nice.
And it worked perfectly.
Like a tray.
Uh-huh. Yeah, nice. Exactly. Yep.
Very cool.
So that's my advice.
Yeah.
Make sure to have something to make yourself a shade with.
Okay. Watch out for the sun. Watch out for the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And what's one thing that people should do if they really want to enjoy themselves? Anything that you haven't mentioned yet?
Take every drug offered to you.
Definitely. And I would say just lay on the beach and just listen to the sound.
Let the world wash over you.
Yeah.
Not the waves, but the world.
Relax, like for reals. Like just chill there. Listen to the ocean. Look at the sky. Look at the waves. That's it.
Very cool. All right.
And I do want to say to finish that my trip ended with my decision of my path, right?
Right, right.
So I decided to come here to the U.S. And I was trying to do this bike ride, PCN.
PCN.
I was trying to find it here in Portland. So I want to tell the story of how TNR started because last time I was here.
We talked about TNR.
I was supposed to tell a story and I was just really tired and I could barely like put my thoughts together.
No worries. So let's tell that story then.
All right. So I decided to come to the U.S. and try my luck here, you know, see what the U.S. made of me.
Yeah.
A better country or whatever.
Roll the dice.
Yeah. So when I arrived in Portland, I was sure that there had to be a PCN, which is the weekly bike ride in Mexico.
Okay. Does that stand for something in Spanish?
Yeah. It would be Nocturnal Cyclist Promenade.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good name. Can we use that for a ride sometime?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
So I was sure that there had to be one in Portland.
Okay. Yeah.
And I kept asking everyone about it and they were like, oh yeah, there's bike ride every week. Like, always.
Yeah.
But they didn't understand that I was looking for the same bike ride.
You're looking for the specific bike ride.
And just a bike ride that happened every week because, yes, there was a bike ride every week, but it was always a different ride.
It was, it was a roll of the dice as to what ride it is.
Yeah.
Like, this is the one where we all wear tiger suits.
Right.
Yeah.
Or this is the one where we all roll dice. Yeah. But not, yeah, not just a ride with people going places together.
So I was looking for it. I couldn't find it anywhere. I had gone on multiple rides, almost all of them. And I still thought that it had to exist because I was like, come on, it exists there in Mexico. So it has to exist in U.S. Bike City,
it's
right?
Not that hard. Yeah.
So I was like losing my faith, and then I found Endless Summer Ride, and I'm like, this is
it.
Oh,
yeah.
And that was Nathan Jones just saying, hey, it's a nice day. Let's go ride bikes.
Yeah. And I thought that was going to be it. So I went there. I discovered that it wasn't. And I'm like, okay, it just doesn't exist. So on one of the Endless Summer Rides, Nathan did a beer stop, and it was kind of over, but people still wanted to ride.
Right.
Because the weather was great, etc. So I was like, hey, Nathan, we should ride more. You know, I was like kind of talking to
him. Go somewhere else, yeah.
And he said, you seem to have initiative. You should do something with it.
Why did you start this?
So I was like, all right, we're riding a friggin' 9 miles right now or whatever.
We
went on the ride.
Okay.
And that's how it all started.
So that was where the beer stop was born and where TNR was born, Thursday Night Ride.
Kind of. Nice. After that, I like Nathan and I contacted via Facebook. We, you know, started to hang out or go on rides, etc. I started telling him about PCN in Guadalajara. He didn't really like the format at first. He thought it was very strict. Uh-huh. He liked the spontaneity of Endless Summer.
Right.
And, you know, TNR is same spot, same time, all the time.
Yeah.
So he was like, no, that seems pretty strict. Like, no. So I like continued, insisted. So he had been doing the Endless Summer like every week. And then this time he had to go out of town. So I decided like, no, this can't die.
We're going to make this happen.
So I did the first, I think it was Thursday Night Park Hop or something.
Okay.
And that's how it started. Nathan somehow liked the format.
Yeah.
Same meeting spot, same time.
Yeah, he didn't like it on paper, but he liked it when he saw it.
Yeah, I guess so. At first we had 15 people.
Uh-huh.
And it's been growing little by little. We're at 140, our biggest now.
This is pretty good.
Yeah. And it's frigging awesome. But yeah, that's how it happened.
Nice. There we go. So that's the plug for anybody who wants to go out and do the Thursday Night Ride. It's there every Thursday.
Correct.
Down
every
at the
Thursday.
Waterfront at the Salmon Street Fountain?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And 7 o'clock?
7
p.m.
There we go. I still need to make good on my promise of going on another one soon. But
I think you also said one before the school year ends.
Yeah, or maybe like before I leave town, before I leave on this hike, I'm gonna do at least one Thursday night ride. So yeah,
nice.
Yes, thank you for leading this. Thank you for making it happen.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely, it needs to.
Well, the fact that exist. Again, like we've said this before, but the fact that like people keep on showing up means that like this is a thing that should exist. So
yeah,
I'm glad for that.
And it's a format that works perfectly for any type of event.
Right.
Really. Same meeting spot, same day, same time. People are just always going to know it's reliable. They show up. An event that you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You just have to show up and make it happen.
You can start your own habit. It's a good habit to have. Cool. Well, thank you for the Thursday Night Ride, and thank you for sharing your stories about going out and backpacking and camping on the beach.
Absolutely. Very little people know this about me.
Right, really? Right. It's why you just told us the last time you were here, and I was like, well, we have to talk about that.
Nice.
Very cool. But do you have time to hang out for our news and mail?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. Excellent. Well, let's do that then.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike? I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights. Pedal just fast and get into the morning light. Pedal just fast.
All right. We got a calendar. May 15th and throughout the summer, Sunday Parkways coming up.
Needs volunteers.
Yeah, if you like seeing the streets shut down and bicycles taking over the streets, and who doesn't? I can think of a few, but screw them. Yes, Sunday Parkways is happening on a monthly basis, and they need volunteers to make it happen. So come on out.
Yeah.
May 18th.
May 18th, music and bikes, the guilty pleasures.
Yes, The Ride Returns.
The Ride Returns.
Last year, Mariana, you came, I think, on at least, I think you came on both of the Music and Bikes rides.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're doing more. That is now almost a week away.
Wow.
I'm all about it.
Are you going to do this every week or just?
No, I'm going to do one a month, I think.
One a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm going to wear the tiger suit again.
Right on.
Because I think that seems like a thing, and I'm going to start it by dancing in the tiger suit. So, yeah.
Right on.
May 20th, 6 to 7 p.m. at Clever Cycles. Heinz Stücke. He's the famous bicycle tourist who's been doing it for years and years and years. And he's got a book.
He's promoting his book, 50 Years Around the World by Bike.
Holy shit.
We said at Clever Cycles, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Books will be available for purchase as well as an opportunity to have Heinz sign your copy.
And this is cool because this is the guy who, like, he also is, like, famously low tech. He just has a bike and for a long time, no phone. Nothing.
Yeah.
Just like out there doing it.
I only know of him by legend.
Yeah.
You know.
So meet the man, the legend.
Yeah, this will be very interesting. The day before that, also at Clever Cycles from 5 to 7, is part of the Hug Your Dog Tour.
Hey.
The dog Bixby is a 6-year-old rescue dog, and her human have traveled throughout the U.S. Over 10,000 miles.
By bike?
They are doing another tour.
That's super cool.
It is to raise awareness for abandoned and abused pets.
Okay. And kind of like the Pixie Project here in Portland.
Yeah, kind of.
Nice.
They will also be at Clever Cycles from 5 to 7. That's on the 19th.
Very cool. Very cool. May 20th. No, wait, that,
no,
we already did that one. June 10th.
June 10th.
The Little Lebowski Urban Achiever Ride. This is the one where they play out scenes from the famous film, The Big Lebowski. And I'll be lending my sound system to that one. So that's during Pedalpalooza, I believe. Also during Pedalpalooza.
The Pollen Ride. Commiserate with fellow allergen sufferers.
That's right. And
that's
Gerald.
6:15 at the Veracat statue.
Listener Gerald, who's going to be on the show at the end of March. No, May. Excuse me. He's going to come in, and he's also helping me lead the ride. So
awesome.
I owe him a phone call.
Have you guys tested the ride yet?
No.
You should ride your
ride. We will.
I ran into neighbor Kelly and her crew test riding their bikes to bocce.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. They go into various parks. And they're going to play bocce ball.
That sounds like a ride I should go on. I love bocce ball.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but she was riding a Surly Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
Which is like the huge fat of fat bikes.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really cool.
Third annual Bike Mechanic Challenge at Velocult, Saturday, June 18th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m., $10 admission. Unless you're in the bike industry, and then it's like less. Those are things coming up. So headlines.
All right. First up, from Street Films via listener Anaquenze.
Yeah, and he said he is a traffic engineer, and so he gets into this kind of stuff.
Yes. The Pulaski Bridge protected bike path is finally open.
Which is good news.
The Pulaski Bridge had become dangerously congested over the last few years as more and more bikes, pedestrians, and runners have crammed onto its narrow shared path. The solution? Remove one lane of the roadway.
What?
And give space to a bi-directional cycle track, giving the older combo lane to the exclusive use of pedestrians.
Holy shit. They just doubled their capacity and everything.
Yes.
That's great.
Where is this lane?
This is in New York.
New York City?
Yes.
New York City.
I'm trying to think where it links. It's mentioned in the article proper. It is Brooklyn and Queens.
Brooklyn and Queens.
Cool.
I'm showing you the webpage so you can see what the webpage looks like.
Nice.
So that's super cool. And that is Street Films. They do good work.
Yes.
They share information well. The other thing we wanted to share.
From David Robinson.
Okay, a couple of things we want to share.
Yes.
David Robinson sent me this actually sometime last month. I realize it's been longer than I thought. But overnight sleeper bus service. So what if there was something like the Bolt
bus?
What if there was something like the Bolt bus where it takes you from one city to another? But
maybe we didn't. This is really awesome.
But it goes from L.A. to San Francisco and San Francisco to L.A.
while you sleep.
Overnight. It's got sleeper berths. You go in there. You feel like you're in a band or something because you're in like a bus and you get to sleep. And you go to sleep in San Francisco. You wake up in L.A. You go to sleep in L.A. You wake up in San Francisco.
Nice.
Why didn't anybody do this earlier? This is super cool. But this is someone who had some experience with various logistics. And they said, hey, this is a good idea. Why aren't we doing this?
Yeah.
And so they did it. So I would like to see this happen in more places more often. Because the Amtrak sleeper car, that's like one of the best ways to travel by train. Just you have a place to sleep. And you don't have to, like, sometimes travel is fun. Sometimes the worst part of travel is waiting for it to be over. But yeah. You know what's fun?
Yeah.
Dreaming. And you can do that while you're asleep. Yeah. So, yeah. So this is a good idea. Anyways, if you want to read about that, it's a super cool idea. I hope it happens more.
Lastly, those of you in Gresham, you might take a look at the little promos for the Gresham Bike Month. Features our musician, Ryan J. Lane.
He wrote our theme music, our opening and closing songs. And he's also a stock photographer, and he uses himself as a model for many of his stock photography projects. So,
and one of his photographies got...
Yeah.
One second. So the song that goes, I like my bike.
Oh, no. Nope, that's Hurt Bird. That's Hurt Bird. Yeah.
But the opening song.
The wah wah wow. That
then
one.
The closing song.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Every time I come to the show, the next day, I'm like, I like my podcast.
Yeah. So Hurt Bird isn't even together anymore. They're not even really a band, which is too bad because they made good music. But yeah, it's a good song. I'll send it to you.
I love it.
I think I can do that.
Yay.
I mean, do I need to like take this out of the recording?
I don't know. I don't think it's copyright protected.
I think you can get it.
They're disbanded now.
It used to be.
It's so good.
It was given away for free on Bike Portland a long time ago. So, yeah, I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
Come at me, lawyers. So, we may not have a good legal case against that, but you know what we do have?
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
That was one of the most creative segues I've ever experienced.
Oh, thank you.
Ethan Georgie went bike camping.
Yes, he did.
Though it is only April here in the upstate New York, I had the pleasure of completing my first bike camping for the year.
I think this was also sometime last month, too, so it took us a while to get to it.
Yes.
But he did go camping.
It was in April. Yeah. A state park across the Hudson River recently opened new campsites. I went to check it out. The place is shiny and new and delightful. The sites are open with fire pits and my bright yellow-orange tent. Within walking distance, there's a boat launch with picnic tables and benches overlooking the river, and I watched the sun go down. It was pure magic.
Oh, it's magic.
Walking back to my cozy sleeping bag, through the chilly evening, I felt like I had a moment like so many of you described. Your forays into Stubb Stewart.
There are also forays into Stubb Stewart State Park.
I'm sure there's at least four. Stubb Stewart, Columbia River Gorge, and Cascade Locks. I have been so jealous, and now I have a little of that for myself.
Be jealous no more.
That's
go
right.
Outside. Yeah. So good for you. Thank you, Ethan. Thank you for
Don't
sharing your experience.
Don't get jealous.
That's right.
Get even.
Yep. Get outside.
On an even plane of
Yeah.
Of
don't
experience.
Tilt your tent. Put it on flat ground.
I don't know where I was
We're
going
talking
with that.
Trash.
Tim Mooney chimes in from his last bit of mail about transit and bike touring.
Oh yeah, and the timetable.
Yes,
not the turntable, but the timetable.
Timetables of turntables.
Yeah, getting home.
One other option for people less interested in the race to the bus setup is to get up to one of the larger coastal cities and look for one-way car rental options.
Here on the Oregon coast,
again,
yeah.
Not optimal and certainly more expensive, but doable. I like that there's a genuine transit fast-forward option that keeps costs low, celebrates and uses coastal mass transit, and has a bit of adventure thrown in for us self-competitive types.
Self-competitive, yeah, yeah. But there are many ways. You don't have to have a car to go somewhere. Tim Mooney is good at finding those ways. So, you know what else is good at finding things?
What is good at finding things?
I don't know. I don't have a segue. But we're at the end of the show. Mariana, thank you so much.
Can I do a call of action? Or is
yes,
that
please.
The show?
Yes.
Holy
I didn't realize you had one.
We haven't done
one
yet this week.
Well, here you go. Yeah, please do.
All right, this is a call of action for anyone who can tell me why is there space at Sunday Parkways occupied by private investment such as corporations? And why are we getting like publicity when we're just trying to ride our bikes? That's what we do on our phones.
Ooh, yeah. So people who have the answer to that, I have an idea, but I'll wait for the answer to come in.
Okay.
Let's get the official word.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Well, there's a lot of corporate logos at Sunday Parkways.
Yeah. Space.
Yes.
Being utilized by them when it could be utilized by the public.
Sure. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a trade. Well, here come your credits. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
I just got the hiccups. Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music and looking cool.
Herb Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shuttlefoot,
Katharina Mellemgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner,
Dave Nose, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Keeley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, Drew the Welder,
Anna Krista Skukis, John Wasserman, Andre Johnson,
Shelly and Troy, the King of Division, Josh Zissen,
Richard G. Guthrie Straw, Christopher Barnett,
Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green,
Mac Nurse David, Catherine Minchin, Nathan Poulton.
All right, now go brush your teeth, lay down on the sand,
and
enjoy the view.
And enjoy the view.
There we go.
Good night.